Well, good morning.
Morning.
That was awful. Good morning. How are y'all doing today? Did y'all have a good Christmas? It's awesome. I had a great Christmas. I got to go home to Panhandle, Texas, and see my three little nephews, and so I love being an uncle. There's no responsibility involved, and so really enjoyed that. I also got a blizzard, and I came back with like allergies, so I'm not turning into a frog. I'm a little sick, so... Before I preach today, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be honest, I'm really nervous about my message. I've tried, this will be the fourth attempt at what the Lord's laid upon my heart, and so I'm kind of nervous because I don't have a lot written down. I have 7 lines written down, so this could be a quick sermon. I could be a great preacher and have you all out of here by 11:45, but I pray that the Spirit moves and that God moves. And so I want to read a scripture. It's not going to be on the screen. It's just something the Lord laid on my heart just a second ago. And it's Exodus 33, verse 15. And this is just to preface this verse just a little bit. This is the verse where, or it's the situation where Moses, it comes down from the mountain. He has the Ten Commandments. And he sees the Jewish, or the Israelites, they erected a golden calf. And the Lord got pretty mad at that. And was like, y'all need to leave. I'm not going with y'all. And then Moses, he says this to God. This is Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And so the Lord laid that on my heart to ease my heart. And let me know that if he goes with me, if we journey together in scriptures with him this morning, that it's going to be okay, that it's going to be all right. And that's a sermon, like that's a side sermon. That one's for free. But and honestly, to me, that's just the kind of the prayer of my heart is I don't want to do anything on my own. Because then it's all vanity, as it says in Ecclesiastes, that if God doesn't go with me and God isn't with me, then it's all wasted away. And as John Piper says, it's one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so I pray here and now that the Spirit, the great I am, the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, the one that brought Christ back from the grave, the one that is still living today, that he fills our hearts. Just here in this moment. So will you pray with me as we journey together? Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just let the Spirit fall upon our hearts, Lord. I pray that you just ease our busy minds and help us focus on you right here and right now. Lord, I pray that you calm my soul and my heart, Lord. And I pray that you help me trust in you and your provision, Lord. And I pray that you just move. Lord, I pray for favor this morning. And Lord, I pray above all else for the Spirit to fall down and to impact our lives. God, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for the cross. And Lord, I pray that you just move in us. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. And so, excuse me, about 3 months ago, the Lord put on my heart the gospel and for the college group. And so we did a study through Galatians and Ephesians, and we did a half study of 2 Corinthians kind of ish-ism. And it's just all about the gospel. And week in, week out, I was talking about the gospel. And then I began to think, well, am I preaching about the gospel too much? Am I telling them... Just, you know, am I inoculating them by just saying it over and over and over and over and over again? And honestly, the Lord answered me through scripture. Is if you look at the Pauline corpus, the 13 letters from Paul, he starts off every letter by saying, Jesus Christ came for you. He came so that you might have life. He came and died so that you may live. And so to me, it's honestly, you can't preach it enough. And I'll talk actually here in a little bit about how I grew up in the church and I really didn't understand the gospel until I was 18 years old. And so you truly can't hear it enough. But for me, in what I read, the gospel is so foundational in our Christian lives. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, we'll look at that in just a second. But the gospel is foundational in all that is done through Christ. And so we'll read, it's going to be on the screen, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 other brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That's the Bible way for saying they died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And so, to me, it's important to know the gospel in its entirety, like the full gospel. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where people don't really present the full gospel because a little bit of it, parts of it, are very uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable. They don't exactly make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And so today, I just want to talk about the gospel. I just want to present the gospel. to me, through the Spirit, I've come up with just three realities of the gospel. These aren't found in the Bible. It's not found in like James or the Book of Opinions or whatever. It's actually something the Lord really put on my heart. So the first of these three realities, the first realities is that you and I are sinners. We're broken in our ways. We sinned against an infinite and holy God, and we need to understand that when we sin, we're not just sinning against our own flesh, or we're sinning against someone else, but we're actually sinning against God. We're rebelling against God. And so through that rebellion, we have separated ourselves from him. We have pushed ourselves away from him. And this gap between us and God is named death. And so through our own flesh, there's no way that we can bridge this gap. There's no way that I can, by saying the right words, can go back into communion with God. I can push away death. There's nothing that I can do that will push away death and get me back to God. There's nothing that I could ever build or create that will ever get me back to God. And that's a reality of the gospel. That's something, you know, when Jeff, we had 20-something kids come to Christ this past semester. He told that to every one of the kids. He's like, you're a sinner, you know that? I don't know if he had fun doing that because he did it a whole lot, but he let every child know, every one of those precious souls know, like, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that we're broken people, that we are severed from him. And the thing is the devil just sings this song over us repeatedly. He whispers in our ear and he says, you know what, Jordan, you're broken. There's nothing about you that can ever bridge that gap that sin created. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can create, nothing that you can say that can ever bring you back to communion with God. And he sings this over and over, but he doesn't realize that he's singing the song of the redeemed here. Because the second reality in which Shane and Shane, a group, they wrote a song about this. They said that the devil is singing this song over me, and he's just telling them that how they are broken, they've gone astray. But the devil forgets the refrain, and that's the second reality, is that Jesus saves. The second reality is that God, in his great love for us, in his great want and desire for communion with us, came to us as a little baby. Hopefully he didn't pack yours away, but he came to us as a little baby. Sinless and innocent, grew up, lived a sinless, spotless life, came and died upon a cross, took my sin and my shame and my guilt, and gave me his righteousness. And then on three days later, he came up and he rose from the grave. And then 40 days later, he's ascended. And he's still living today. And so the second reality is that Jesus saves. Is God in his great and unparalleled love for us sent his son to come and die for us so that we might have life and live it abundantly. And a lot of people just stop there. A lot of people just stop there because that's awesome. You know, I if someone goes, Jordan, you're a sinner, I'll be like, you know what? You're right. I've done some bad things. You know, we can all look at in our own lives and see the wake of destruction left behind us, seeing the lives that we've just hurt and ruined by the things that we've done or said. And we can be okay with that. And we're definitely okay with hearing, man, Jesus came and died for me so that I can be back with God, so I can be righteous in the eyes of God. We can hear that. But the third reality is that God loves us too much to let us remain broken. He loves us too much. He loves me too much to let me remain sinful and unrighteous. He loves me too much to let me look exactly like I was before. And that's hard to hear. That's hard to hear because it's admitting that I'm wrong and that I have to change and that I can't be the same. I can't be the same old Jordan Payne back in the old days. And so, you know, back in the old days, that was like a long time ago for me. I'm kind of old. Sorry, Jeff. Man, I like make fun of my boss all the time from up here. That's not good. But in my experience of the gospel, I had a great father. I really do still have a great father. He's a pastor. He's been a pastor since, I believe, 1980. And that's a long time ago for me because I was born in 88. But he's been a great father to me. He's raised me well, if you can't tell. I'm just kidding. I was trying to be like you, Jeff, and brag on myself, but it just doesn't work. But my dad did a wonderful job in raising me to understand who Jesus is. And my mom did a great job. She was my Sunday school teacher, which was cool at times and not cool at times because, like, I had to go home with her. And so I got beat a lot at home. Y'all laugh. I did not. But they did a wonderful job about telling me about Jesus, about telling me about the gospel, about making me understand why Jesus came, what the infant birth meant. About, you know, Jesus' birth was God's declaration of war upon sin. And his death and resurrection was victory because he swallowed up sin and he swallowed up death. And you and I now have a hope because of that. And my parents told me about that day in and day out. And you know, like they grew me up to read the scriptures and to know things. And I mean, you should have seen me at VBS when I was a child. Like, I was killing it. They're like, what is this verse? And I'm like, bam, got it. So I was like a professional VBS kid. I had a name tag. It was amazing. Man, I'm an idiot. But you know, I knew all the right answers. And I knew everything. My friends were amazed. They're like, Jordan, you're so good. And let me tell you, I could fake it with the best of them. I really could. I could fake it with the best of them. I mean, this is personal, but I mean, it's about Jesus, so it's okay. But when I was in junior high and high school, you know, I looked like the Christian. I even wore Christian t-shirts. There's a Christian t-shirt. It's like a play on Abercrombie and Finch. And it was a breadcrumb and fish, you know. And I was like pretty cool because I thought I was wearing it. And I thought I like earned Jesus status by that. But man, I faked it. So I was so good at faking it. Age of 16, I was addicted to pornography. Just could not get rid of it. I was caught like a fish. But nobody knew that. Because they saw the outside of me. They saw, oh, well, Jordan, he kind of looks like the part. He says the right things. He's the chaplain on, you know, this team and that team. He's the vice president of FCA. He's got it going on. His life is good. But they didn't understand that I haven't changed, that there was no change. I was exactly like the world was. I may have been wearing Christian clothes and may have been saying that I have life, but on the inside, I was dead as ever. Until at the age of 18, I went to flight school. I've said this before when I preached. I went to flight school I thought I was going to be a pilot. And the first Sunday that I went to church there up in Iowa, I went to this little Methodist church. And it was actually pretty big. They had a really awesome worship team. It was really nice. And then the preacher came up to start preaching. And then he said, "We as Christians have the truth." And I was like, okay, you know, like my dad said that before. Okay, I think that's a biblically acceptable answer. But then he also began to preach about how Allah also is a piece of the truth. And how Buddha is a piece of the truth. And how he just named off all these religions. And how we're all the same. And that essentially what religion is just this big mountaintop and we're all around it. And the way that we get up, the path that we get up, we call our religion. But essentially it's all the same. And so for me, I don't know why God beckoned me. I don't know of this prevenient grace that he shed upon me. But that just didn't settle with me. That just didn't feel right. Because even though, you know, I knew some of the answers. I knew John 14:6 that Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, that there's no other way to the Father but through me." And so that completely contradicts what this preacher just said. And so I was just, this warm feeling came on me. I don't know what it was. Indigestion, I don't know. But this strange feeling happened. And I became very uncomfortable. I don't know how to describe it. And so I got up and left. And then I got in my truck and I just drove around Dubuque, Iowa. And then I put in a CD that my youth pastor at the time gave me. And this worship song came on. And I started, honestly, in this, like, this, I'm a guy and I don't like to tell people I cry. But, man, I weeped. I did that nasty cry. You know that cry that the girl you like, you don't, you know, if you like her, you don't want her to see you cry. Like, that's the cry that I had. Like it was just coming out and I was just like, I don't know what to do. And so I pulled over and I pulled over in this parking lot and in this parking lot, this chorus of this song started playing and the chorus goes, "I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours." And so in that parking lot, I just screamed those words to God. I said, "Lord, I don't know why I'm here in Iowa. I don't know all this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I need to take a Tums or that's you inside me messing me up. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I need you. That's what I do know. I do know I need you to come inside of me and change me because something's wrong, something's not right, and I need an answer, and I feel as if you are the only answer." And oh my gosh, like, it was amazing. Like, I called my dad right after that, and I talked to him, and he was like, "Jordan, you know, sometimes we hear the gospel so much that we become immune to it, immune to its power. And that we honestly, it's just like we inject a little enough in us to get us by so we don't have to change." And he said, "Jordan, maybe that's what happened to you." But he's like, "I'm glad you're alive." And so that feeling that I felt inside, I now know what it is. And that's called life. Is whenever Christ truly came inside of my heart, I was brought to life. The funny thing about that parking lot is it's a Walmart parking lot. And so if someone asked me to title my testimony, I don't know what to call it. Like, you can find anything at Walmart or Walmart truly saves. I want to patent or trademark that. Like, don't y'all be driving to Walmart parking lots trying to get Jesus. But to me, up until my Walmart experience, I guess we can call it, I was living in the reality that, yeah, I'm a sinner and that Christ came and died for me. I was just living in this reality and in the second reality. But it wasn't until I experienced Jesus that I realized that there's a third reality. That we are called to experience Christ. And if you look in scriptures, every time people experience Christ, they're changed. They're not just, you know, like, "Oh, that was cool." They are jumping for joy. The blind can see. The lame can walk. He made, and honestly, this is one of my favorite stories. He made a Christian killer into one of the most influential people in human history. He converted Saul to Paul, who wrote like 70% of our New Testament. I mean, the thing is, guys, is we're robbing ourselves if we just stop at the second reality. We're robbing ourselves if we aren't trying to experience him. Because it's only through that experience can we change. There is nothing, nothing, nothing like the name of Jesus. There is no power. There is nothing that can challenge the throne of God. That Christ is and always will be the greatest thing ever. He's the uncreated God. He will be now and forever. And the only reason I know that is because I experienced that. And I fear that some of us in here, we haven't experienced that. We feel dead inside. We can fake the Christian life, but we feel dead and broken on the inside. And so the Lord really pressed this upon my heart this morning to say this. And that is that Jesus is not in love with the future you. Jesus is not in love with the future you. He's in love with you now. He's not in love with a dream, but he's in love with reality. He's not in love with potential, but he's in love with what is. Christ came and died for you. He didn't die for the future you that's going to be better than now. You know, it's New Year's resolutions. We're about to make those things. He didn't come and die so that I can be a better person. He came and died now. He came and died for me here in this moment. And I fear that a lot of us, we truly don't believe that. We truly don't believe that God could love me the way I am now. We don't believe that he can love me with all this sin and all this pain and all this hurt that I've caused in my life. But the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of Jesus, and the beauty of that cross is that he says, yes, I can. And he died to prove his love for us. And so I can't stress enough the importance of experiencing Christ. You know, I can't stand up here and preach from Jeff's experience. I can't stand up here and preach from my own father's experiences. I can only tell you about how Christ has affected me. And I say this in a great way. He's ruined my life. He really did. I wanted to be a pilot. I was pretty good at being a pilot. You know, I didn't crash like that. That says something. But he really ruined it. And I'm glad he did. I pray that every day. I'm like, Lord, destroy what is of me. And I feel a lot of us in here, we truly don't understand the power of the gospel. It's the foundation from which we preach on. It's the foundation from which we live on. That it is the gospel that is the central focus of the Bible. The whole Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament's about Jesus. And I feel that some of us in here, we just don't understand that. We just don't understand the gospel. We don't understand the power. And a lot of it is because we haven't experienced Jesus. And that's my prayer for us today, that we can experience the living hope that we have in Christ. That you can, I mean, not just honestly, not just hear about Jesus, but actually hear Jesus. Not just, you know, hear stories about how he's moved in people's life, but to understand that he can move through your life as well. And that he can truly change your life. And so the gospel is all about God and his great love. Came and died for us, despite the fact that we are away from him because of our sin. He came and died. As 1 John says, there's the propitiation, this beautiful exchange of our sin and his righteousness. He came and died so that I might have life. And he came and died so that I might be something different, something better, and something made more in the likeness of him. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much just for the ability just to be called your child. And Lord, I pray that just doesn't escape us, Father. Lord, I pray that in our hearts here and now, Lord, I feel that there's hearts in this room that want to experience you, God. That as the song we sang earlier, they want to be close, God. And so, Lord, I pray that you move in a mighty way. Stir in our hearts a desire for you, Father. Lord, I pray that you just move. Lord, I pray that everything that was of me of the flesh, Lord, let it die away and let what is only of you remain, Father. And And Lord, help us realize that you love us here and now. You're not in love with some future version of Jordan Payne, but you are in love with who Jordan Payne is right now. And Lord, help me realize that you love me too much to let me stay this way. So Lord, better us, chisel us down, and mold us and shape us into the likeness of your Son. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. During the last song, if you please stand. If you want to use the altar to pray, come talk. That'd be awesome. But please stand and sing.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Love, how can it be that my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
You do honor him and take your flame and ignite this world. You are dismissed.
Amazing love, how can it be?